Tonight, our CGO Elliot Serrano rides sidecar and tells lies about Captain America. But first, we check in downstate with Representative Robert Martwick and go further in depth with Rick Perlstein. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, it's all happening. We don't have time. Let's just get right to it. Representative Martwick is on the line. Hello, Representative Martwick. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well, but I live in the state of Illinois, and I'm completely confused as to what's happened over the last couple days. Tell me. Explain what happened Wednesday. We heard that there were committees, there were bipartisan discussions over the budget, and then the Speaker of the House, Michael Madigan, sent down the budget, and people got very upset. That's all I know. That's in a nutshell all I know.
Yeah, well, there was definitely a pretty interesting series of events that happened. What we did was on the House is that Speaker Madigan introduced a budget, and we voted on it. We passed it. The excitement really came from a series of procedural moves that happened. And I want to get too in depth with it because it'll take too much time. But what happened was either side can move to end a debate prematurely,
right.
So stop other speakers from speaking. And in recent days, the Republicans have used that tactic a couple of times to cut off debates where they did not think it was advantageous for their members to speak or for us to reply to them.
And were there any elements in particular that they were cutting off the debate on?
Well, the three Republicans did speak on the bill, and then one Democrat spoke on the bill, and then this parliamentary maneuver was used to end the debate and cause a vote. Where the problem got in was the Republicans asked for a verified vote, which means that you don't just vote and look at the board, but they actually have to go read the names of the people who voted yes, and then they can challenge people who aren't in their seats, who did not vote on the bill, and they can have those votes removed. And in all of the hubbub and all of the screaming and yelling, that didn't happen. And that's when the Republicans really lost their mind. And I think fairly so, because when you ask for a verified vote, you're supposed to get a verified vote. The next day, we reopened the debate on the bill, and we re-argued the bill, and we voted on it again. So their concerns were addressed, I think, fairly. I think, and those are parliamentary issues. That's not the real issue. The real issue is going about the budget the way that we went about it. And I don't know why. I'm not consulted as to why we did it. But I think that the statement that was given by Jay Hoffman, who is one of our leaders on the Democratic side, was, look, we're continuing to work with you. We want to work with you. We will work for a solution. If we really wanted to pull a last-minute ha-ha, thumb our nose at you, we would do it on the very last day of session at 11:30 at night. This was well before. This was a week before session's supposed to end.
Right.
And the reason that he gave for it is that, look, we don't want to be in a position at 11:30 on the night of the budget deadline and have you say, well, now it's 11:30. You have to give in to our demands or else. So we said, here's plan B. We're going to pass this. This is the spending that the governor himself requested or proposed in his 2017 budget. It included many of the items that all the Republicans have supported in the past. And we said, look, this is what, if everybody gets all the spending that they want, this is what it looks like.
And what is the number? What's the number in which it's kind of out of whack? I heard it's about $7 billion over. Is that accurate?
Well, and it's hard to calculate that, but if you add up, I mean, it's a fair guess, because the problem, of course, and we've talked about this on the show before, is that the governor has entered into a lot of these consent decrees where he agrees to just sort of pay these social service providers.
Right. And that's not being monitored as closely as it should be. Is that correct?
No, it's not. And in fact, as much as the governor complains about it, there have been instances where he has added people to the consent decree without questioning whether or not they should actually be into it. So there are social service providers who have come and said, well, hey, we're not getting paid. And he'll say, oh, well, we'll just put you in with this consent decree and get you paid.
Wow.
Well, okay. So, you know, I think it was a very, let's just say, it wasn't a very good way. I think the intention was to show, here is plan B, and this is the spending you guys have all requested, right? It kind of gives it's illustrative, right? Like, mm-hmm. look, if everybody gets what they want, this is how much it is. So this tells us how much we need to raise in terms of revenue.
So the budget doesn't, because your job is to determine and approve what is spent. Is that right?
That's our job, determine and approve what is spent. And of course, it is also our job to address revenue. We are supposed to balance the budget eventually. But of course, that is before the governor signs it, we are supposed to have it balanced. So right. by passing spending without revenue doesn't mean that's the final deal. We have days left. We're still here. I'm in Springfield. I'm going to be here all weekend. We're going to continue to work on the budget.
Wow.
So we're not done yet.
So, and here's the thing, we've been planning on coming down, but the problem is, I don't know, and I told you, by the way, Representative Martwick, when was a good time for me to come? So, do I come over the weekend? Do I wait until Tuesday? Because you guys are done, what, on Wednesday or Thursday?
Tuesday at midnight is the budget deadline. I would suggest that Monday and Tuesday will be good days. If there is a deal that happens, it will happen then.
All right.
And if it doesn't, then you will see many of the same fireworks that you've seen in the past.
So is everyone staying for Memorial Day? Because last year that was a big debate as well as to whether or not people should leave town.
Yeah, well, so there the official calendar is now, we were in session today, we're off tomorrow, and we're back on Sunday, although there are many of us who have chosen to stay through the weekend and continue to work, even though we're not officially here tomorrow. But we will be in Sunday afternoon, we'll be in all day Monday and all day Tuesday, and we'll be in until late on Tuesday. And hopefully, you know, like I said, as the working groups continue to work over the weekend, you know, there's always a possibility that we can come to some sort of agreement, and I think there's some hope. There's some hope.
Okay, so you guys passed a budget in the House of Representatives. What is the next step? This is something that the Senate has to then vote on, and then it goes to the governor, or?
That's correct, yeah. We have to pass the Senate, and again, I don't know what's going to happen, but this was, I don't think that anyone ever intended, and again, a leader from our caucus who's engaged in these discussions stood up and said, this is not the final deal. Uh-huh. This is an option. This is a deal. This is a bill. It's not the bill, it's a bill, and it is something, and you know, and of course, there are certain news outlets that like to capitalize on this stuff, so it's, you know, that they're trying to turn it into something it's not. But I think it's very important. I think it's illustrative because, you know, we talked about this, Patty, over the summer when we had this budget impasse, we had panel after panel of interest groups that would come down. Whether it was Autism Project or the epilepsy or Meals on Wheels or in-home care for seniors and people with disabilities,
right.
It was domestic violence shelters or rape crisis centers or you name it, they would come and they'd say, higher education, they would come and say, please don't cut our funding. And there was not a single Republican that would stand up and say, I'm sorry, we just can't afford you, you have to go away.
Right. Everyone would say it was a valuable, right.
We want to fund you. We want to fund you. We want to fund you. So no one has ever said what we should cut.
Well, and what I witnessed,
way of sort of
what I saw were a lot of people standing up on perhaps the other side of the aisle from you saying, these are important services, but how are we going to pay for it? Was always the response, as far as I could tell.
We want to fund you, but we have to figure out a way to pay for it. So,
right.
Like I said, nobody ever said we have to cut you. No one ever said that.
Well, I had reps tell me on the other side of the aisle, they would say things like, well, everyone has to make sacrifices. And from what I can tell, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there are thinking, why is it starting with the most vulnerable or our students
right.
who are struggling? Not everyone is sacrificing. Over this last year, in the entire time we've not had a budget, not everyone is making the sacrifice except for our most vulnerable.
That's right. And you'll hear time and time again, that, well, we want to provide for our most vulnerable. No, we care about this group. We care about that group. And so this was our way of illustrating, look, if that's the way we're going to treat this thing, then we need $7 billion worth of revenue. So you better be prepared to do it. Now, is the solution somewhere in between? I imagine it is.
Right.
Will there be cuts? I'm sure there will be. Will there be revenue? There has to be. There's no doubt about it. And everyone agrees with that. The governor agrees with it, and every single Republican agrees with it. So it's just a matter of getting there. But again, this wasn't the final budget. This was not the thumb in the eye. This was just our way of showing, look, if we don't get something done, we have to have authorization to open the schools. We have to have authorization to to open up our state universities. We can't let them go anymore.
Right.
These are the spending authorizations. Remember, the governor has incredible powers. He has the power to say, no, I'm paying for that. I'm cutting this expenditure. When we say, here's how much you can spend, it only means he can spend up to that amount or less. He can always choose to spend less. So we gave him the authorization that said, this is what everyone says they want.
Right.
Now let's continue working to find something that works for everybody.
And what has been the response from the governor's office as far as his agenda, the turnaround agenda that he's been talking about, that none of this addresses that, or you haven't moved, so nothing is going to happen? Or do you think it's just going to be a veto across the board regardless?
You know, it's so hard to tell at this point, because on the one hand, I have my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, the Republicans, are saying, we're close. Let's keep negotiating. Let's keep working. Let's work together. We can solve this thing. And then on the other hand, you have the governor come out and give up press releases saying, I'm not giving up on my turnaround agenda. I need all of it. And you're like, well, okay, well, those are mixed messages. And I think, again, that's sort of the reason, you know, people say, why would you pass such an unbalanced budget? You have to stake out your position.
Right.
You have to say, we need to know the far ends of this deal. We need to know what the options are. So this is just a tool as we close in on this budget deadline.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your insights on the budget that the House representatives have presented and voted on and passed. And now it goes to the Senate, and then it goes on to the governor's office. And I'm assuming if it does pass in the Senate, the governor most likely will veto it. I'm coming down. I'll be there on Monday. I was supposed to be there this week, and I apologize to everyone that I told I would be there, because there are different programs throughout the city of Chicago and in the suburbs that people are fighting for, and they're feeling like their voices aren't being heard. I don't know how much we can do in the last few days. I don't know what is what it's going to look like, but I'll be there. You'll be there still on Monday?
I will be here from now until Tuesday. Until Wednesday when we leave.
Hey, can I get a ride back with you by any chance?
Oh, you got it.
All right, cool.
All right.
I'm making my travel plans on the air, Craig. Is that a problem for anybody else? I want to thank you so much, Representative Martwick, and I will see you on Monday then.
Sounds good. Have a safe trip.
Thank you very much. And, as I tell you every time, please just fix the state. It seems so doable.
Yeah.
All right, take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye now.
Talk to you later. Bye. More with our guests. We have Rick Perlstein in the studio and Elliot Serrano. And we'll talk about, and I want to know, by the way, Rick, before we go to a break, you were saying that you haven't followed much about what's going on in the state of Illinois. You have an interest in local politics when it comes to the city level and national politics, but the state of Illinois, is it just because it's so ridiculous?
I mean, you heard it. You know what I think, Patty?
What?
I think, given the experience of our Governor Rauner, we obviously need more businessmen running our governments.
Okay, more after this. Let's talk about that when we come back on 720. Hey, Rick Perlstein. How are you doing?
Hi, Patty. I'm doing great.
I know you were listening.
Crazy weather today.
It is a little bit. Do you know, in the last few days, have you been tracking, like, I should be carrying an umbrella with me? Or do you like it to be a surprise?
I just wear the hoodie.
You wear the hoodie? That helps?
Yeah.
I can't. That doesn't help me at all. It goes right over your headphones. We are hanging out with Elliot Serrano, who is our chief geek officer, and Rick Perlstein, who has written the books The Invisible Bridge, Nixon Land, and Before the Storm. And what's the book you're working on right now?
It's going to be called Reaganland.
Reaganland. I like that. It's kind of like Nixon Land.
But with Reagan.
So what's going to come after? Because you've got Invisible Bridge, Nixon Land, Before the Storm, Reaganland, and the next one has to be
my screenwriting career. Everyone's clamoring for a Trump book.
Well,
but I've been in this game for 20 years, and
I think I told you I really want that convention movie with the brokering. I mean, I think this
okay.
Don't
All
you
right.
think that that's I think that that sort of
send me a treatment.
Okay. I can do that. I started one a couple of years ago, like when I first met you. Charles Turk and I decided that that would be the movie. I think I told you, didn't
Which
I?
Which convention?
The
1924 that went to 103 ballots.
No, I believe it was the 76.
76.
Wouldn't that be the one?
Oh, yeah. I just was out in New York shooting a
or 68
series of documentaries about the 76 convention. It's called going to be called It's going to be like 30 for 30, you know, the ESPN thing.
Yeah.
But for political conventions.
Don't you? Wait,
it's going to be on PBS this fall.
Of the ones is it really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
But don't you think that one of those conventions would be a great sort of like in the sort of genre of game changer, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the, you know, like in at the 1976 convention, That was the one where, you know, Reagan was facing off against Gerald Ford. Ford was the boring, boring, you know, like incumbent president. Reagan was the challenger. And all his crazy conservative supporters came with bullhorns and they were disrupting things. So the Ford people had to get the attention of the TV cameras. Right. So that's when Betty Ford came out in this gorgeous dress and started dancing the aisles with Tony Orlando. And this is like, you know, to win the convention, they had to kind of right. like, you know, so this is pretty crazy. And then Haley Barbour, this guy from Mississippi, they were having a secret meeting underneath the bleachers and he had to distract the press from reporting on the meeting. So he started reciting the names of the counties in Alabama exactly. backwards, right?
I mean, come on.
It's great stuff.
Do you want
great
that? Stuff. Would you want that one or would you prefer 68? Or would it be?
Oh, I think 68.
Oh, am I insanely? Yeah. I'm insanely late? Do I have another break before the news? I didn't know I had another break. Oh, I have to go. I'm insanely late. More for this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Our sidecar tonight, Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer for all things geek on Pretty Late. You can go to Elliot Serrano, no, geektome.net.
Geektome.net.
And follow him on Twitter at Elliot Serrano, two L's, two T's, two R's.
Two R's.
All that stuff.
And also on Facebook, where I've been doing a lot of live videos in the studio.
Just a little bit. What did I do? Oh, you don't have any hotkeys? Are you taking power away from me, Craig? Craig has come in the studio and revoked my powers. Rick Perlstein.
It's like 50 Shades of Grey in here.
I don't know if you noticed, I tried to fade the bump and it didn't fade. You were talking over pretty loud music.
I didn't know.
And the
notice.
Reason why was because hotkeys was on over there and in here.
I've gone deaf in my headphones.
Oh, got it.
Because
yeah, I couldn't
you
get
were giving
rid of the
me
music.
Instructions earlier. And
you couldn't hear them.
And I blew right past them, apparently.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No problem at all. So the reason I did that just over your shoulder right now is because I had to make sure I had control of the bumps.
So Rick Perlstein just made a reference to you and I being the couple in
Fifty Shades of Grey,
which
I heard that.
I started watching a little bit of because I was reading a little bit of something you wrote, Rick, on Facebook about how this is not really that bad of a movie. Well, that if you look at it as a sort of empowering movie.
It's kind of a feminist movie because basically this is a super controlling guy and she walks away from him. But apparently in books 2 and 3, not to spoil it, she basically tries to change him.
She does.
Yes.
And this is where women really need to not, I mean, you know, you see, he wants to have a contract with her. They have a meeting.
Contract, right.
And some of the things, and I can't use the language, which she says is not allowed. Let's just say, you know, when you do a fist bump, you know, right? But it's somewhere else.
Right.
She says that's off the table.
Right.
And he questions that. And I was like, no, that seems reasonable to take that off the table.
Well, and then
or off
her.
Of other things. Yeah.
Basically. Breaks into her apartment and rapes her and expects her
it's
to sign a
contract.
Very
odd. Yeah.
But then she walks away, which is, you know, it's basically like the whole premise of the movie is take this guy who's as superficially as attractive as possible. He gives her sports cars. He's super handsome. He's a billionaire.
But he takes her Volkswagen away. I was really mad about that, too.
No one's taking away my 99 Corolla. I don't care, you know, how many, you know, like CEOs you are, you know.
How do you get that? I mean, like, you know your car. It's a Volkswagen. That looks like an 80s,
right.
70s.
So it turns out he's this giant jerk, right?
Yes.
And
she puts up with it.
No, she doesn't. I mean,
she does for a while.
She
doesn't demand her car back when she sees a sports car.
As my darling wife put it, she gets tickled with a feather. She gets a couple spankings. And she has a good old-fashioned...
Yes.
And that's it.
Toss. A good old-fashioned toss? I don't know.
A little, you know, turn
rougher.
That up to 11.
Yeah.
Right? And
spin.
And then she's like, okay, I'm done. And she walks out. And of course it's going to sell 120 million copies because this is what millions and millions of women around the world want to do with their controlling husbands.
Have you seen them? Have you read the books at all? As a writer, have you read...
I don't read books.
Okay. Because I tried, and I even tried, like, skipping to the good parts, and it was a lot of skipping.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it's hi Elliot. Have you read any of Fifty Shades?
Okay, first, I am just astounded at what a dramatically different segment this one is compared to the previous segment.
Yeah, right.
And all it took was for Craig to come in and hit a button and all of a sudden we're 50 Shades of Grey. I thought you were going to make like he went all Governor Rauner on you and vetoed and then
what she said.
Yeah.
He's went all Governor Rauner on her.
But anyway, you have to listen to it's on YouTube. You have to listen to the audio version of 50 Shades of Grey as read by Cookie Monster.
Oh.
It is. It
that
is
would be
brilliant.
A totally different tone.
It is brilliant.
Hey.
Do you have any of your books on audio?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. All of them?
Nixon Lands on audio and Invisible Bridge is on audio. I think Before the Storm is for Reading for the Blind.
down.
You can get it from the library if you're blind.
Okay.
But I'll come over and read it if you ask me really nicely.
Which, by the way, we are trying to make sure that the Harold Washington Library, the Harold Washington Library does not close their blind. They are taking away some of their books. They're threatening to close it down in June because of budget cuts. So your book, Before the Storm, might not be available after June at the Harold Washington Library for the Blind. So you might want to get involved. Maybe that's what we do.
That'll bring me to Springfield.
Maybe that will get, we get all the authors who find out that their books will no longer be available for the blind after June. And I don't know what else to do to get anyone's attention. There's transportation that's not available to many people with disabilities in the suburbs that are being cut. But I know that you focus, you have a lot of, your intention is in a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. But you are, I think that your work when it comes to the rise of the Republican Party, I can't imagine what your head is doing over the last year. Let's go back, because I haven't talked to you that much about Trump's campaign. What were your thoughts when he came into the candidacy, saying that he was going to run in the primaries?
I was actually kind of took him pretty seriously from the start. You did too?
I did too.
Yeah, and for a bunch of reasons. I mean, funny reasons. You know, it's like campaigns are so bureaucratic. I mean, like Hillary Clinton has like something like 500 employees in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Right? And when Hillary Clinton, quote unquote, tweets something, you know, it goes through like 8 layers of bureaucracy.
Sure.
And when Donald Trump tweets something, it's just, you know, him sitting in his pajamas with Melania and, you know, just whatever's
off
the top of his head.
Where's that selfie? I mean, like, how is he not taking a selfie of that?
Well, actually, I read that he never lets anyone see him without a shirt.
Okay.
He's very uptight. But, you know, so the very fact that he has that kind of guerrilla flexibility gives him an enormous tactical advantage over just about any other politician. And the fact of the matter is, you know, he's been on this TV show. He claims it was a big number one hit. He's lying like he does in everything else. It had a couple good seasons. But even in its worst seasons, it was seen by like many, 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 many more times people than ever watch CNN or MSNBC or even Fox News. And so Americans were introduced to this character, and this character who's omnicompetent, you know, omniscient, before whom people grovel as if he's like a terrestrial god. And that's the image that the people have. And, you know, for a lot of kind of people who don't follow politics too closely, and I don't mean it's because they're dumb, it's just people are busy and they have jobs and all the rest,
and they're watching The Apprentice instead.
They're watching The Apprentice, and suddenly that's, you know, that kind of gives him, like, you know, like, well, his whole life, right? He was born on third base and he thinks he hit a triple, you know, that was kind of a triple too, you know. He already had this, you know, enormous profile with the public, and then, you know, once he started kind of Republicans for a Generation, and this is kind of what my books are about, have been practicing what people call dog whistle politics. Right. They say things that you can kind of hear as, you know, kind of abusive of your favorite minority. But then the politician has plausible deniability. You know, I didn't say that.
Right.
The most famous example is Ronald Reagan started his campaign in 1980. His first speech was right down the road where the Ku Klux Klan had murdered civil rights workers in 1964. And he said he was for states' rights. So that was a dog whistle. He was telling the South, I'm not going to intrude on your way of life.
Even if
Donald
that means
Trump,
taking the life of someone who was working.
Well,
it's
just his way of saying, you know,
is what it sounded like. The implication being that's what they heard.
That's what they heard, right?
Which
and
we've talked about
say,
before.
Right. I believe in states' rights. I think that the Constitution is important. Yada yada yada. Donald Trump takes the dog whistle and he turns it into a bullhorn.
Right.
And that's a very, very powerful thing. Whenever people say, "I like Donald Trump because he's not politically correct," you know, the fact that he gives people license to be jerks. You know, it's just kind of a very powerful thing, especially if you feel kind of dispossessed in this economy. No one was punished, right? And all the rest. So, I took him very seriously from the start, as the answer to your question.
Well, and the reason I took him seriously was for similar reasons. There was so much outrage over the last six or 7 years that you could see on Facebook and people being frustrated. And even just the images that they would post as to what made them just pissed.
Right. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it.
Yeah. Or even like, I remember the first time it really occurred to me that there was such a disregard for the human aspect of the president was seeing President Obama's face on a turd in a toilet bowl.
Right.
Right. It was on. I was like, first of all, I unfriended that person. I don't need to see that in my stream. But I thought, well, is this really where we've come? I had never seen anyone's face.
Yeah, the coarseness and the grossness. Right. So we had these kind of civility norms, and once kind of the curtain was rung down on that, the guy who had that power to do that was granted a lot of kind of reverence
right.
by millions of people. And the fact that he also does something that's very kind of smart and interesting. A lot of the stuff that the Republicans were doing for decades and decades about the economics, the idea we're going to cut Social Security, we're going to, you know, kind of cut entitlements, we're going to lower taxes on the rich. That stuff was not popular.
Right.
The popular stuff was the demagoguery. It was Reagan's optimism. It was kind of the cultural stuff. And Trump got rid of that stuff.
Right. Everyone was surprised that, you know, it doesn't matter what his stance is on abortion or what it is on gay marriage, because he changes it constantly.
He changes it constantly.
It doesn't those elements don't matter, whether he can say that I'm going to tax the rich. And all the things that we assume to be the foundation or the components of
the
conservatives.
The Republican Party, yeah. He doesn't care.
No, right. Just blew it up. And we're like, I don't know what this party stands
for. 50 years of work, you know, to kind of build up this identity for this party. And he just said, poof.
Yeah.
It's gone.
And it's just anger and outrage.
It's just anger
and
outrage.
And saying whatever we want.
And saying whatever we want. And, you know, who doesn't want to say whatever we want? You know, it's like I'm sitting here, you know, trying to censor myself, not saying anything that will get you in trouble with the FCC.
Right.
Right? And if you know, the great orange monster, Donald Trump, you know, descended in a celestial cloud into the studio and said, Rick Perlstein, you can use any word you want on the air with Patty Vasquez. I'd be like, I love you, orange hair monster. You know?
Craig, do you have Donald Trump's, when we come back, his, what was it, the environmental speech?
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to that when we come back.
Sure.
All right. And how you doing, Elliot?
I just got frightened. I'm afraid Donald Trump's going to descend from the heavens.
Is your passport in order?
Oh, yeah. I already have a B&B in Toronto.
There's a Mabel match.
You look suspiciously swarthy.
Oh, more after this on 720. We'll take care of the swarthiness after this. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Sidecar Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net to see all things Elliot. And we also have Rick Perlstein on the air. You can go to his website, rickperlstein.net.
I haven't updated it in like 6 months.
Oh, then we'll go there and see what happened 6 months ago. It's fine. And follow him on Facebook. You can follow his adventures, travel, writing, and otherwise, his
thoughts.
Actually,
I'm up to 5,000 now.
Congratulations.
I have to kick a few people off.
I know. I'm at 4,996 with 1,000 pending friend requests. What?
We got to lobby Zuckerberg to kind of bump the ceiling.
Well, we're supposed to go to like page. We're supposed to go to fan pages, which you can like Patty V Show on Facebook. And...
Okay, I do have an Invisible Bridge fan page.
So oh, Invisible Bridge.
Send people there.
There you go. Invisible Bridge fan page on Facebook. And also joining us is our bartender for the weekend windup, Nick Summers from Howls and Hood. Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
How's the family, by the way?
Fam's good. I got one coming in August, too.
I know. Yeah, you can have a Leo baby.
You know, I got married
King
in
of the Jungle.
You got married in August?
In November.
In November?
Yeah.
You haven't been here since November?
Yeah.
No, come on. You've been here since you got married?
No.
My God, has it been that long? You kept blowing me off. You're like, oh, I'm traveling. I can track all the messages we have on Facebook.
I got to have something to talk about, Patty.
Are you trying to stock it up? No, there's always something to talk about. So we were talking a little bit about the rise of Donald Trump in this campaign season. But I think you have pretty strong thoughts when it comes to Bernie and Hillary as well. Because
no.
I know that you ranted against both of them.
You know, I got to say, Patty, some friends of ours have a lovely bonfire every week. And Judy, my lovely wife, doesn't want to go this week because she doesn't want to hear how terrible Hillary Clinton is. Because people are so...
Yeah, what's happening?
It's so strange. I mean, people believe the worst about her. And I'm not a fan. You know, I voted for Bernie, you mm-hmm. know. I think she'll be a good president. I think she'll be tough, you know. But, you know, she's kind of a hawk and, you know, all the stuff about the banks, you know, that's real stuff. But, like, people are just, like, you know, kind of people on the left are kind of reaching this bottom of the barrel right wing stuff. And it's just very bizarre. And
well, people are saying they're going to burn it down.
B-E-R-N.
If it's not Bernie.
I was in Washington and they have Feeling the Burn,
mm-hmm.
B-E-R-N, and
I got
an STD check.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
So I don't know. I just don't want to talk about that, frankly. You know, I'd rather talk about Trump.
All right. Well, after the news, we're going to play some audio, and I know that there's so many things.
We
that
actually
he...
have the quote he was looking for right now.
Oh,
if you want, real quick.
Okay.
I know we got about a minute.
That's all right.
Okay, cool.
So basically, this is his speech on his environmental, his global warming policy. Today.
Global warming policy.
American energy dominance will be declared a strategic, economic, and foreign policy goal of the United States. It's about time.
Yeah. So what's funny about that is, we all know, like, politicians don't write their own
America
stuff.
America has 1.5 times as much oil as the combined proven resource. Listen to this. As the combined proven resources of all OPEC countries. Think of that. We have more natural gas than Russia, Iran, Qatar, Saudi Arabia combined. We have 3 times more coal than Russia. Our total untapped oil and gas reserves on federal lands equal an estimated $50 trillion.
He's reading it very well.
Right. No, but that's the thing. He's like the first. We all know politicians don't write their own stuff. He's the first politician who doesn't read his own stuff.
I mean,
it literally sounds like he was like reading that for the first time. And then he was commenting on like what he was reading. He's like, wow, that's great.
Let's get more reaction from Rick. We got to take a break here. And we'll listen to a little bit more of that speech. And we can even go back a little bit and take it apart.
Okay.
I don't know why. Not your fault. See, we are playing 50 Shades of Grey. I changed the rules. Craig's like, I can't remember why I rolled that down.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Okay.
You pushed a button and I was like, oh, really? How about if I do this?
I apologize.
No, why should you apologize?
Yeah, I don't know.
No reason to apologize. I apologized for the silence. Rick, don't you think it's a good time to meditate when you hear silence? It's like that. Isn't there there's some song like
I've heard silence is bad on the radio.
It's terrible. But if you hear silence on my show, it means that you should reflect on your very existence. How's that? Is that acceptable? No,
I'm speechless.
It's too much. Nick Summers is helping us reflect with a lovely cocktail from Howls and Hood. Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well now that you have brought a relaxing cocktail for us to enjoy. You hear my voice has dropped down a little bit?
Yeah. We
were talking about Trump in the last half hour. Now I'm like, whatevs.
Now it's time to drink.
We're done with Trump. Okay.
No, we can talk more Trump.
I was going to explain the spot market for oil, but if you know, you don't.
What's
want
the spot market for oil, and how does Fernet play into that?
It's made out of coal.
It's made. Okay, so he was saying this abundant amount of coal. Right, we have 1.5 times
so
the amount.
Yes. He says something that's very popular and very nonsensical, which is that America can become energy independent. Sounds great, right?
Right. Which it appeals. Who does that appeal to?
Everyone.
To say,
you know, you don't want to be dependent on some foreigner,
no.
Right?
What?
So. You know, you have control like Mr. Gray does in 50 Shades of Gray, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, energy is like you buy it on an international market. Like, you don't say, we get to keep the energy that we, you know, get out of the ground in Texas and we're going to only sell it in America.
Or is available. He's saying this is what's available and the potential we have, isn't
it? No, it doesn't. We don't get to keep that oil. Oil companies sell that wherever people want to buy it. It's like saying Bangladesh is clothing, you know, independent because they make lots of shirts there.
Right.
Right. They get sold all over the world.
The only reason they do well is because we buy it.
It's just nonsense. I mean, it's just like, you know, he could be saying blah, 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 which is, you know, as far as he's concerned, he is because he's just reading something that someone wrote for him. And in fact, two people wrote it. One was a congressman from North Dakota. The other was someone that prefers not to be named.
Oh, that's never good. You got to be named, Elliot, don't you think?
Yeah. Let's
talk about Frenette.
But talking about the whole thing with Trump, though, that bit about energy independence, let's be honest. That's something that even all presidents have talked about that in the past.
That's
so it's
nonsense.
A very common
very
thing.
Very good point.
Very common thing. And let's be honest. How often do you have someone explain that? I mean,
only on Patty Vasquez's show.
That's right.
Because you sit there and you go, wow, if we have all this coal, we have all this oil, why are we buying stuff from
the
Saudis?
Well, let's talk about the stuff
so
that
on.
Only he says that's nonsense, which is that we, you know, he can bring back coal jobs, right? The reason people don't have coal jobs is because it's all coal mined by robots. You know, it's like, it's not like he can kind of snap his fingers and bring back coal jobs. You know, it's nonsense that we can just.
Can
you know,
he also
drill
bring back those
drill.
Guys that used to come out at the gas station and clean your windshield? And
he can make me 6 feet tall.
Oh, he's, there you go.
Yeah.
He's like a genie.
That is amazing.
Oh, it's the radio. I'm 6 feet tall, by the way.
Yes, he is. Yeah, you can say whatever you want here. But that's the thing is saying things that are possible, but people want that to be. And why is it the same when you say, well, we're gonna help people who are disadvantaged. We're gonna bring, you know, we're gonna bring more jobs in
what,
the
are you
in
a
the
communist?
Exactly.
That's socialist.
In solar power or wind energy. How is that like something that's terrible to want to aspire to?
That sounds politically correct.
Oh, is it really?
I guess. I don't know. I think, like, you know, a lot of this is kind of this is very kind of macho, you know, kind of masculine. We're going to drill. You know, we're going to, you know, rape the earth and, you know,
well, that's what Michael Steele said. Drill, baby, drill.
Pillage and, you know, all the rest. Yeah. Sarah said it. I remember it's like the Republican Party is so fascinating. So, like, I was at the convention in, you know, 2012 where America, you know, met Sarah Palin. Was it 2008? And she gives a speech and she says, drill, baby, drill. Like it's been said for the first time and everyone goes crazy. And you go outside of the convention hall and people are selling drill, baby, drill T-shirts.
Yeah.
So it was all set up in advance.
In advance. They already knew what the catchphrase was going to be. They
yes.
knew it was going to hit home with everybody.
Exactly.
Anyway. It's all good. It'll be fine. It'll all be fine, Elliot. It's all gonna be good.
I'm probably gonna catch some flack. Okay, let's look at it this way. Why is it? I'm gonna play the advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it bad mm-hmm. to run on a platform that people understand?
Oh, that's great.
You know?
I mean, it's like when Franklin Roosevelt, you know, had to convince someone American people of something that was very difficult and they didn't want to do, which was help England defeat the Nazis before the Nazis threatened us. You know, he said something beautiful and simple.
Yes.
He said, when your neighbor's house is on fire, you don't walk away, you loan him your garden hose. That's simple, right? And
right.
it convinced the American people. It's fine saying things.
But did he?
Persuasive.
I mean, it doesn't seem like the American people didn't really want to get involved. They were isolationists.
He managed to turn people around, and he managed to pass this act that basically sold weapons to England on very generous terms because he explained it. That's fine. Being a persuasive politician is great. You know, saying that you're going to affect the most massive ethnic transfer of human beings in the history of mankind, you know, that will require, you know, like a police officer on every corner knocking down doors.
Has he said that?
Well, if he says that he's going to like deport 12 million people from the United States, that's what it amounts to.
Right. How do people think we're going to extricate?
Magic.
Right. Oh, okay.
You know, the same way he, you know, manages to, you know, keep his hair covering his head. You know, I don't know.
And I think what people want, they just don't want to be at the mercy of the system. That's how they seem to feel. They don't want to be
that's
at the mercy.
Right.
So whatever
that's
solution it is.
That's demagoguery. You know,
yes.
he provides simple solutions to problems that are very real.
Right.
Right? People's sense of helplessness. And they should feel helpless because they're being screwed.
Well...
Can I say that?
Yes. I laugh because it's like that's the basic thing that it comes at. People feel like they're being screwed,
right.
whether it's in the state of Illinois,
right.
in the United States, the city of Chicago, wherever you are, you feel like you're being screwed. And I asked this one night because the Republican Party has often been the party of not a handout, but a hand up, right?
Unless you're a petroleum company.
Yes. But my question has been, we often talk about what's being done to us.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing, right? What are we doing to be proactive, regardless of party? What are you doing to make the world a better place? What are you doing to make your day a better day? Except if it's just being angry,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing to move things forward? Is it to blame the system? Is it to blame your neighbor? Is it to blame the immigrants? Is it blame
and that's
Muslims?
Why, you know, that's
I'm just
why
curious.
Leadership is so important, right? Because, like, great leaders call people to their better angels.
Right.
You know, they don't pull them down. They raise us up.
And who do we have that does that anymore?
Well, you know, I mean, I like Bernie. I like Hillary Clinton. You know, I think they're good leaders. I think that, you know, Hillary Clinton has talked about love a lot. You know, she's talking about, like, you know.
But she seems to push people away. It doesn't seem to be the kind of campaign that, I mean, people aren't, they're not responding to it.
Right. Well, you know, she's actually has some very passionate supporters, but you don't really hear about that. But the
people
fact
are
of
afraid.
The is,
people are afraid to come out and say that they like Hillary.
Right. It's true. I have my sister-in-law in Berkeley said, I am not going to put on a put a Hillary bumper sticker because all my Bernie friends.
You're right. I haven't seen any Hillary stickers.
Right,
I only see Bernie
feel
stickers.
Intimidated.
And I only see. I haven't seen any Trump stickers either, though.
And you got to understand about Hillary Clinton. You know, like, people have been spending tens and tens of millions of dollars to besmirch this woman's reputation for decades, right? Whitewater, it was all made up. She was completely exonerated.
But didn't she kill that guy, Vince?
Oh, and she actually... fathered Hillary with her law partner, Webster Hubble.
I'm so confused. I need a diagram.
Benghazi.
Oh, yeah.
And Libya.
All right. What's in the box? Craig, what's in the box? Before we take a break, 312-981-7200, we have a pair of tickets to the producers. We have an Apt Electronics gift card, so you're going to win either way. By the way, Craig, I can forward that to our good friend Steve Shapiro, who says, hey, always let him know when we're out, and we're out. But we have those available for you for what's in the box. Before we take a break, though, I want to find out from Nick, what is in the Fernet that we are enjoying?
Well, a lot of nice, cool things. We got some thyme. We got some ramps. Lemon, lime.
Garlic stems.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
A pickle ramps.
It's like an after-dinner kind of cocktail, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're kind of playing with it. It's different every time, and we use, like, ingredients, roots, and stuff that are, like, in season. So, yeah. You know, it's just our twist on a Fernet, and we use Amaro, which is an Italian liqueur. So you're going to get some caramel notes and things like that. It kind of reminds me like a prime rib on the rocks. Mm. I don't know.
It does. It's hearty. I would say it's hearty.
Ingredients that he's not allowed to mention.
Hearty.
There's secret ingredients.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
Well, I can't say those. My mom doesn't even tell me the stuff, you know.
Oh, or, boy.
Or, you know,
Mama
so
Summers is getting us all in trouble.
But there are some cloves floating in here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all goodness.
Getting it done.
312-981-7200. We're playing What's in the Box when we come back on 720 WNYC.
Five little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one. And they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university where they were put in boxes and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just...
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and we are playing What's in the Box. And I'm kind of excited because we have a new reader in the room. I mean, that's the best way to say it. I mean, reviewer. I guess Rick Perlstein could be considered our reviewer. That's the best way to say it, don't you think, Elliot? You read the reviews, making you kind of the voice for the reviewers.
Rick, do you get a lot of reviews? You like when
yes. Do you get a lot of reviews on your books?
Sure, of course.
So when you read the reviews, how the voices that what voice do you hear in your head?
Yeah.
When you read the review,
if they're a positive one, is it like kind of cheerful and like this book's the best?
Sure. Well, yeah.
This guy has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, whatever.
It sounds like
know.
That. All right, then. Well, you're the voice of the reviewers tonight. Okay. Jake, how are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. Hi, Patty.
Hello. Have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
I have not, actually.
Oh, this is very exciting. We have a couple of newbies. Hold on one second. I'll explain it to you, I promise. Hi, Blake. How are you doing?
Good.
Good?
Yeah, home from work.
You coming home from work? What do you do?
Bartender.
Oh, nice. Nick, nice. You know what kind of day he's had.
All right.
It's the beginning of a 3-day weekend. I'm guessing you both are both very, very tired.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Blake, have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
I have not.
Oh, this is amazing. Thank you both so much for calling in. Well, I do a lot of shopping online, and it struck me one day as I was perusing some certain items, the similarity between the reviews for an appliance, let's say for a hand mixer or a blender, seemed to really kind of be very close to what the reviews were for, let's say, an adult toy, like a perhaps a massager, a prostate, like whatever, whatever you have at your disposal that you might use to end your evening, start your day, or just keep you moving in the in between hours. So your task, now that you've accepted the challenge, is to tell us whether the review you hear is for an appliance or an adult toy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but all you have to say is appliance or toy. You're both going to win regardless. I have a Illuminati's pizza and I have a gift card for Apt Electronics. Oh, I said we have a pizza, we have producer tickets, and we also have Apt Electronics. Ah, I see a grand prize in someone's future. Let's see how this goes. You guys ready?
Yep.
Excellent. So we have Rob Martz here in the studio. He is going to read for Jake.
All right, Jake, you ready?
I'm ready.
Wow, a mighty machine. Love it. I call it my big red monster.
That's awesome.
Do you know?
Can I read it for you again? Because it was a lot of fun.
I really need to.
Wow, a mighty machine. Love it. I call it my big red monster.
I'll go with the plants.
Ding, ding, ding. Hey! Well done.
Someone has a big red monster at
Jake
home.
Jake from State Farm chimed in.
I want a radio voice, man.
I've been narrating my life.
I know, I'm saying. All right, Jake is on the board with one. We have Roger Badich in the newsroom ready to read for Blake.
Yeah, we have a whole new set of reviews for you.
I know, so do I. This is exciting.
This is great. Here we go. It completed all of our performance tests competently.
Yeah, I was waiting for more.
Wow, I like that. Like, do you have? Well, perhaps everyone has different standards. What do you think, Blake?
Appliance.
He would be correct.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Well, you get something home and you're like, how does it do with eggs? How does it do with strawberries? How does it do with tuna? Nick, it's your turn. Please read for Jake.
Okay, Jake, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ready.
This moves well beyond just heating things up.
Oh, my God.
Do you need to hear it again, Jake?
Yeah, please.
Okay, you ready? This moves well beyond just heating things up.
Appliance.
You got it.
Ooh.
Nice.
Wow. These are some.
I couldn't even sell that toy.
I'm saying hearing this for the very first time, they're doing
good.
Very well.
These guys
well.
Are good.
All right. Man. Jake has two. Blake has one. Rick Perlstein is going to read his very first review.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go for my best Mae West voice here.
Oh. This is also a first. Okay, here we go.
Nice and quiet. Powerful motor. It went so fast. I loved it. Better than doing by hand.
Oh, man.
What do you think? What do you think, Blake?
Oh. I'd say it would be adult, but I'm going to go adult.
You're going to go adult toy?
Bam!
Oh, wow.
Oh,
man. Got a big...
I know, it's my Mae West voice. I know.
Man, doing good.
I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Well done, Craig.
Wow,
thank you for that.
Yeah,
very close, Rick. I think that was very, very
uncanny.
Close.
I don't even know what bathroom to use now.
I want to peel a grape for me. Go ahead, Elliot. You are reading for Jake.
That's going to be tough to follow. I don't know if I can. I can't do Mae West.
All right. You can do Yoda?
No, I'll do Edward G. Robinson. Yes. No, I'm not.
That was good. You're on it. You got it. You're yeah, you got it. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have not come across anything else like this that gives me the same experience. See? I highly recommend. It's nice to use alone, but added quite a bit for me to have someone else handling it instead of my own hands.
I don't even remember who you're reading for now. Jake? Is it Jake or...
And I think that was for Blake.
It was for Blake? All right, go ahead.
That was for me, right?
Right, who?
Yeah. It's for Jake.
Oh, it was for Jake, sorry.
I thought so. Okay, go ahead, Jake. What do you think?
I'll go with the toy.
It is a toy. Very good.
Are Jake and Blake in the same car? They really sound like they're sitting right next to each other.
Maybe he's got two phones.
It's like the same guy, but he's like, you know.
All right. Blake, Jake is ahead by he's ahead by two. He's got 3-1, just so you know. So Rob Martier will read for Blake. Oh my God.
All right, Blake, here we go. The controls are usable when it's in use, but due to the physics and the angles, it isn't the easiest to make sure you have the correct button. That's a terribly written sentence, but that's exactly the way it is in black and white.
Probably an adult toy.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Well done, Blake.
I love it. All right, it's 3-2 now. Roger Badish will read for Jake.
All right, Jake. This is a little long one, but
that's what
along.
She said.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, I slipped on my mic button. I was going to say that. Like, damn it.
It's not like last night where Patty turned her phone to me to show me something, and she threw it at me, and it fell on the board.
I for real did. That's when I J-swiped with Mark Carmen. Apparently, yeah. I'm his Jewish dream.
Well, this is not a Jewish dream of any kind.
I'm willing to.
But here we go. All right, here's your definition. Mm-hmm. They've measured from the widest portion, often the handle, and not just the widest usable portion. This led to some really skewed measurements.
Oh, where's the Better Business Bureau when you need them?
What do you think? What do you think, Jake?
I'll go with a toy.
Very good.
Oh, man.
Very good.
Someone got their tape measure out for that one. Blake, Jake is ahead 4-2, just so you know. So reading for you is now Nick.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
As long as you know you can handle it, I would absolutely recommend that you pick one of these up for yourself without hesitation.
What do you think, Blake?
Adult toy.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
That's correct.
These guys are fantastic.
I know. This is a great round.
Wow. Jake and Blake,
four
money
three.
Team.
I'm saying. Nick read for you now. Rick will read for Jake.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This one gets a manly voice.
Okay.
It needs a manly voice, but you're going to have to do with me. I cannot imagine how technology can advance past this. Some other really smart person is going to have to work really hard to top it.
Appliance.
It's a toy.
It's a toy.
All right. I want to know which toy.
That was for Blake.
Do you have the backstory behind these? Do you have the URLs?
That's a Lalo Loki is actually what that one is.
I'm going to Google that right now.
Yeah, it's actually, I'll tell you afterwards. Oh, this could be for the win, Elliot, just so you know. If it's not for the win, we have to go to news and put Jake and Blake on hold.
All right, I need to.
So Elliot's reading for Jake, for the win.
Okay, yeah, and my friend Bonnie, who's listening right now, I know you're listening, and your niece Kate are listening too, so maybe you want to, this one's going to be explicit, so just maybe like turn away for a moment. All right. The device will remember
Blake.
The last...
Oh, it's for Blake?
Yeah, this is for the tie.
Oh, it's for the tie. Thank you, yes. Blake. I needed someone to keep track. Sorry. I was having
this
too
is
much
for the
fun.
Tie.
The damn Blake and Jake name.
I know. That's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
All right, Blake. So, again...
It's for Blake for the tie.
No and worries.
Then, yes, go ahead.
The device will remember the last setting you selected. So if you do turn it off in a panic, pull it out. Change a setting, then put it back in. Appliance?
Yeah.
It was a toy.
You did not tie, my friend.
It was a toy.
Patty, I just looked up the Lalo Loki, and I'm just going to have to...
Yeah, go ahead and pull the trigger on that one.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, pull the trigger.
Good game, Blake.
No, we're not done. You guys are not done. Jake is ahead by one. It's best of five. Can you guys hold on for after the news? Because we're late for the news.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Thank you, guys. Oh, you're making this a good round of what's in the box. Here with your news a little bit late.
It's made of ticky-tacky little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same. There's a green one. And a pink.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. When we last heard from our contestants, Jake and Blake, they were... Oh! I'm so sorry, Craig. Jake, please call back. Please, 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 please call back. I just hung up on him. I was
They're
so
in
excited.
The same room. They're not... He's passing the phone.
There were different area codes. Jake, please call back. Please, please, please call. There he is. It was the 815. So we are playing What's in the Box. I was so excited to have them back because actually this next round, I mean, he could just win on this next review. So if that's the case, I think we should have another round with two new contestants. Don't you think, Elliot? I think that that's the kind
I'm all for it.
I'm just saying. It's a kind of night.
I just love listening to Rob and Nick read these reviews.
I believe Rick Perlstein thrown down with a Mae West impression.
Yeah. And his manly voice.
Roger Badish getting into some technical terms with measurements and... meeting the qualifying standards.
You're all about preciseness.
I like it all.
Yeah.
So we left off. Blake is behind 4-3. He did not tie in the last round. How are you guys doing? Both
doing good.
Thank you, Jake, for calling back. I apologize for disconnecting you right away. I apologize.
No problem.
All right, then. So we are at, it's Jake's turn. He could win on this one. I believe, is it your turn to read?
I think it is.
It is. I believe you're right.
All right, Jake, are you ready?
Here we go.
I just received this item yesterday and opened it today with my girlfriend, who knows about these. It will not turn on! Exclamation point. Again, it will not turn on.
Seems very upset.
Is it a pull start?
What do you think, Jake?
With my girlfriend.
It will not turn on! That's
exclamation correct. Point.
Is it a pull start?
I repeat.
Apply it.
Attaboy!
Hey!
Well done.
Oh, we came back from the news for that like cliffhanger, and Jake wins it right after the news. Jake, you have your choice of a pair of tickets to The Producers, which is now playing through June 26th at the Mercury Theater in Chicago, or you can take a a Apt Electronics gift card. We have an Apt Electronics gift card, and you can go to aptelectronics.com for more information about that. By the way, Producers is running through, like I said, June 26th. You can call 773-325-1700 if you haven't won them on our show. But one of you is going to see that, and one of you is getting an Apt Electronics gift card. 312-981-7200. We can play again, I think. Do you feel like staying, Rick?
I gotta stay and sober up.
My bad.
312-981-7200. We all have enough reviews to play another round of What's in the Box. Craig is taking the information from our winner, so it might be a moment. If you are calling in, hang on. We will get to you, but we have a Lou Malnati's gift card, and we also have another pair of tickets to the... Well, let's just go with the Apple Electronics.
Did you say a Lalo book? Gift card?
No, I don't have any Lalo. I should get in
sponsor.
Touch. I know. I thought about that today because some of the reviewers say I've given my review or I've used this product in exchange for getting a discount or getting this item for free. And I'm like, how do I get on that list? There are a lot of people on Amazon. I don't write any reviews. Do you write reviews at all?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
Rick, do you write any reviews online?
Only of my own products.
That's good to know. Nick, have you ever written a review for anything?
No, I haven't.
Me neither. Roger Badish, do you write reviews?
Well, I post on Facebook my feelings about certain things here and there. And
yes.
So they
appliances
can be considered...
or toys?
Silver bullets.
Silver bullets. 312
trailers.
981-7200. We are going to play another round of What's in the Box. We have a listener who asked us to play last night, which I thought was very sweet. Dave, who said that his favorite part of the week is when we play What's in the Box.
Yeah, but you started a new game last night. You were playing Mystery Date.
We were
with your J swipe.
Where's my phone? Let me see how I'm doing tonight.
You were deleting that.
I didn't delete it yet because I got so many responses, and you would think wearing like the Marine battle gear, people would not be attracted to that. But it's also
you never know.
The
people,
banner
all kinds to make a world.
Yeah,
and
people like someone in a uniform.
And the banner picture is my Little League baseball team. So I'm like, it's all tough girl all around. So yeah, I got a lot of Calebs and Jacobs.
Yeah.
That were one and Josh's and Seth's that Rick. By the way, Rick, you became a Northsider in the last year, didn't you?
A couple of years, yeah.
Has it been a couple of years? I thought it was within
two, 3 years, yeah.
You moved. I thought you were on the South Side, and you only recently moved. Oh, maybe I haven't been following you long enough.
Pay attention.
I know. How do you compare living on the South Side to the North Side?
Well, you know, I was a Hyde Park, University of Chicago guy, and I was once at the U of C gym, and a woman was swimming in the gym doing the side stroke while reading Shakespeare's sonnets. You don't see that at LA Fitness up in Edgewater.
Wait a minute. I don't think that that's indicative of the entire South Side. What is, look at this gentleman. He's taking a picture of us. I feel bad. Everyone, by the way, this is how I do my show. I am seriously ADD in the studio. 312-981-7200 if you want to play What's in the Box. We also are doing our weekend wind-up over some lovely cocktails from Howls & Hood. And what is this? Is it called a Fernet cocktail, or is it...
it's our twist on Fernet. So,
it's your twist on
and
Fernet.
We play with it, and it's all house-made, and whatever's in season, we marinate it. So
there is a clove floating around. I feel
there
like
is if that, doesn't a couple that go other secret gems in there too. I can't say everything.
Come on,
I can't.
What else ferments that well?
What does it start good. With?
It's very good.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You had a long day, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. What is it?
I did.
I don't even know what's in this thing.
He's just making things up as he goes.
Just drink it and get on with
yeah,
it.
That's right. Why do we got to talk about it so much?
Vitamita Vegemin.
A little Lucille Ball on the production line.
A little bit of vitamin water in there.
Oh, whatever it takes. So, Rick, you have been doing a lot of traveling, and you know we go in and out talking about politics on the show. Mm-hmm. In particular, you know, obviously we're following the presidential campaign. But one of the reasons we started the weekend wind-up is that Rob and I tend to be on opposite sides of some issues. Not in a contentious way, just kind of like, this is what I think, or, you know, perhaps. And so our point for this segment is, these are the topics you should not talk about over cocktails. We'll do it for you.
Okay.
So do you find that you are getting into arguments more and more? I mean, because I've distanced myself from arguments.
I've mentioned this. I mean, I just don't want to talk about the Democratic race because I think that the bad blood between Bernie and Hillary supporters has become
toxic,
really unpleasant and unproductive.
Yeah,
shall we say, it doesn't really lead to anything other than anger and dead ends. You know?
Yeah, are you avoiding any sort of arguments outside of?
I have been.
Yeah, me too.
I have been because it's again, everybody has dug their heels in.
Yep.
Whomever they support, and that's it. Come hell or high water, you cannot convince them otherwise,
right.
and or get them not even to rescind their support for somebody, but just see it in a different light. You know,
I totally disagree.
Oh.
Right, exactly. See,
I don't know what's happened. I got very nervous. I was like, oh, this got contentious.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy, and I you know.
Do you feel like when you get in an argument, you're trying to convince someone to change their mind, or are you trying to convince somebody why you're right? Because I think those are two different things.
That's really interesting.
Right?
It's not so much, you're trying to convince somebody,
to change their mind.
No, I'm not trying to change their mind, and I'm not trying to say that, I'm right. It's just, oftentimes I find myself, trying to see the other side. Like, I get it. I understand why you guys feel that way, mm-hmm. and I don't necessarily disagree with you. But in things, in terms of, like Illinois, for instance, it's a great example. You know, we need to spend money here, and we need to spend money there. This state is bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And my general question, I ask it very plainly, where is the money going to come from?
But we used to have a surtax for people who made lots and lots of money that was very reasonable. Pat Quinn ran on it. He won. And, that's why we're bankrupt. So we raised taxes on people who can afford it.
And we also had a temporary income tax, which put us at 5%, which was not even at the top of the rest
exactly.
of the country.
And we could have a progressive tax, right? We do our taxes
and if
April
you,
15.
And if,
our Illinois taxes are like one-tenth of what our federal taxes
and
are.
And if you were able to show me, ironclad numbers about how you're going to tax the top whatever, and that we're going to make up this deficit, and we're going to pay down the billions in unpaid bills and the billions in pension liability.
It wouldn't be hard to do.
Okay.
But has anybody done those numbers? To prove it to people, I guess, is what they want proof in it. They also want to know, what I hear a lot of is it being also spent efficiently?
Oh,
are
sure.
we spending it in the right ways? And that's, I don't even know how you quantify that or justify, and that's where we are. I think that's why we're at a standoff.
I've mentioned Franklin Roosevelt before.
Yes.
He said, better a government that, I don't know what the exact quote is, makes occasional mistakes than one that's frozen in the ice of its own indifference.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, the boxes all the same. There's a green one.
You are listening pretty late, and we've decided to go another round of What's in the Box. We have all new reviews this week, and I had teased you with the opportunity to possibly play What's in the Box all by yourself, and I don't know what happened. I believe I was very clear on please give us a call to play, and the phone lines exploded, Anne, so we do have an opponent for you, and are you ready to
play?
I know. It'll be fun. We've got all kinds of reviews for you, and Myrna is also on the line. Myrna, am I saying your name correctly?
Myrna.
No. How do you say it?
Well, in Spanish it's misma, but in English it's mirna, so that's why I take either or.
Well, I'm Mexican, so I should say correctly. Mirna is on the line with us. We have Anne and Mirna on the line, and we are playing What's in the Box. I'm assuming you both know how we play?
Yes.
Let's get right into it then, because it's we've only got a few minutes before the news. Rob Martier will read for Anne.
All right, Anne, here we go. I like what the unit does. I do find it to be heavy-duty unit. My only complaint is that it's not easy or quick to open and reseal to resume use. This can become a bit more challenging as your hands get dirty.
Dirty. Going to say appliance.
Atta girl, Anne. Well done.
There we go. Right out of the box. Right out of the box, it gets right. What's in the box? Roger Badish, will you please read for Myrna?
Why, certainly. Okay. This is a fairly quick review here.
Oh, okay. That's what she said.
Yeah.
We've been doing it all night. We can't help ourselves.
Their 15-year warranty is pretty much unprecedented.
Oh.
I couldn't hear you.
An appliance?
That is a toy.
Whoa. 15 years. Totally. 15 Forward years. Me that, would you please?
Wow. All right,
that's pretty good. If you're going to stand behind your product for 15 years, you got a lot of confidence.
Or in front.
That's what she said.
That's all. See? It works on so many levels. Nick, will you please read for Anne?
Anne, you ready?
Yes.
Pondered and pondered, do I need this? Is it too large? I absolutely love this. It is surprisingly lightweight, but it feels and functions as high quality. But probably should have gone up to the next size.
Boy, where have I heard that before?
What do you think, Anne?
I would say appliance.
Ding, 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 ding.
I love it. Anne has had two.
You.
You're welcome. 2-0. Myrna, here's your opportunity to get on the board with Rick Perlstein.
Speaking of Myrna, size. Great product. Size is perfect for my needs.
One more time for Myrna.
Great product. Size is perfect for my needs.
Okay. Size is perfect for my needs, Myrna. What do you think?
I don't want to say toy.
You don't want to? Or you don't
I'm
think
I'm going
so?
With appliance.
What do you think? What is it, Rick?
She is correct.
Hey! The game is 2-1 now. Elliot, please read for Anne.
All right, Anne. Bought this as a gag gift for the girlfriend at Christmas, and she was actually pretty thrilled. She had been thinking about buying one for herself, but just never pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Apparently, these do work very well for the intended purpose. Who knew?
Oh, dear.
Toy.
It's an appliance.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh,
which appliance, yeah. Patty?
Okay. That one know? I did not pull that appliance.
Okay.
I did not. That was Anne. So for Myrna, please read Rob Martier.
This is a fabulous machine. I had the much smaller version before, but doesn't compare to this behemoth. Nothing it can't do.
Nothing.
Wow.
Wow.
Very well made.
Oh. What do you think?
I'm going to go with toy.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's an appliance.
Okay.
That's all right. Was that was Anne, correct?
Myrna.
Oh, it was Myrna. All right. For Anne, Roger Badish will read.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Most are made from a type of glass better known as Pyrex. It's used in everything from medical devices to household glassware and containers.
Appliance.
It's a toy.
Oh, now,
wow.
Anne,
Anne needs to get out more.
No, I was surprised as Anne might be to find out that that's a popular. I didn't know.
Really?
I didn't know
you
the glass
so
was
worldly.
I know you can put them in the dishwasher and everything. I'm
ew.
Yes. What do you mean, ew?
Well, I don't want something that's next to a hoo-ha going next to my glass.
Or your pots and pans.
Right.
I don't know if it was next to the hoo-ha. I'm sure you know how these work.
Hoo-ha.
Do you know how a dishwasher works? Nick, you are reading for Myrna.
All right, Myrna, you ready?
Yeah.
My wife loves it.
That's it. What do you think, Myrna?
Toy.
It's an appliance.
It is an appliance.
What husband would review their wife's sex toy on the internet?
Oh, Rick? So yeah. Very many of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, that's a that one comes up quite
a bit.
That's
a little codependent for my taste.
But that particular review was for an appliance. But okay. There are many men who do
Whirlpool
reviews.
Washer.
Rick, please read for Anne.
Works great, but still trying to figure out the best position to use this to get the results I'm looking for.
Toy.
Yeah.
There you go, Ann.
Tried to be all boring.
Nana's ahead 3-1. Elliot, please read for Myrna.
All right, Myrna, this one kind of takes us into uncomfortable territory. I purchased this for my grandson. He said it works great and he can't put it down.
Oh, boy.
Myrna, what do you think?
Appliances.
Oh, there we go. It's 3-2. Oh.
Wow.
Rob, what was that?
What kind of appliance?
Craig, do you want to tell people what the other appliance is, or do you want to keep it a secret? Because
that is pseudo appliance, is shake weight. So that is a shake weight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shake weight. Okay.
Appliance. Yes, Rob Martier, please read for Ann.
I heard those serve double duty, though.
Oh. You got to be really committed to make that a double duty item.
Be careful.
Yeah, that too.
All right. You cannot disassemble it for cleaning. You just wash with soap and water. I found that pulsing it with some soap and warm water inside works pretty well, but it takes some effort to get down around the very bottom with a brush.
I think Rick just swallowed his tongue. Are you okay? What do you think, Ann?
Appliance.
Atta girl,
there
it is an appliance.
Go.
Well done.
If you want to know what appliance that is a toaster.
That was a toaster.
That is correct.
Yeah, Craig pulled some of those appliances.
Actually, no, I can see that. Yeah.
It makes sense. Roger, please read for Myrna.
Here we go. All right, another quickie. And yes, that's what they all said.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have
Oh, he's got a list. Wow. Yes, she said that. She said it.
Check.
Her too.
Check.
Yep.
Check.
Also. All right, Roger. Please.
All about you, isn't it, Rog?
All right. Once you have everything hooked up, it's easy.
What do you think, Myrna?
Appliance.
Very good.
Hey.
There you go.
We're at 4-3. This could be for the win, Nick. You are reading for Ann.
All right, Ann, you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Ann sounds like she's being led up to some sort of tour. Yes. Fine.
All right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The producers, by the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Glad to say mine arrived in perfect new shape and works great so far. On top of that, it's really nice looking.
Oh, gosh.
That was nice, Nick. And I'm sorry. I need Nick to read that again.
Yes, I do.
Do the same
there
way.
You go.
What'd she say?
She says she does, too. Go for it, Nick. And slow down.
Glad to say mine arrived in perfect new shape and works great so far. On top of that, it's really nice looking.
I'm going to say appliance.
Ding, 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 ding.
There we go.
Anne has won this round of What's in the Box, but you both played magnificently. Thank you so
much,
Anne and Myrna.
Just for everyone's clarity, too, that is a water filter that you put onto a
nice. It's a nice looking water filter, I'll tell you that.
Oh, this was wonderful.
I hate those gnarly water filters.
Yeah, you never want it to be gnarly. One of you will get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Go to loumalnati's.com for information about their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can order online as well. And you also have an Apt Electronics gift card at your for your choice. And Myrna, thank you so much for playing What's in the Box.
Thank you.
And all of our listeners can also thank you. Can go to aptelectronics.com, aptabt.com, for all of your shopping needs in that area. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Before I throw it to the news, Rick, are you staying around for after the news? We're just hanging out and just chilling.
Yeah, one more segment.
One more segment with Rick Perlstein. Rob Martier, are you hanging out? Or
Four kids.
Four kids. He's
got
done.
Four kids.
All right, then. Nick Summers, what are you up to?
You got me.
All
I'm
right.
Here.
He's staying. I know Elliot is because, I don't know. I just made him. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, just enjoying our Friday night. It's the beginning of the weekend, a long weekend, no less. It is Memorial Day weekend, and joining me in studio is our chief geek officer, Elliot Serrano. Go to geektome.net for everything that is Elliot, and follow him on Twitter at Elliot Serrano. Two L's, two T's, two R's. Is that about accurate?
That is correct.
In whatever order you want to put them. But hopefully it falls into the spelling of
the
Elliot.
Oh, no, it's the incredible thing about social media. You just put it in any way you want, and it comes out the right way.
That's true. Just search. Mm-hmm. Rick Perlstein also joins us, and he has an event coming up on Saturday, June 11th at the
Printer's Row Book Festival on the 11th, yeah.
And you will be introducing?
I'll be interviewing Seymour Hersh, the investigative journalist. He's talking about his book, The Killing of Osama Bin Laden, which is an expose, and he claims that everything we think we know about how Osama Bin Laden was killed by a SEAL Team 6 is false.
I saw Zero Dark 30, so I know everything I need to know.
According to him, it's all wrong.
So the Navy SEALs actually don't like a lot of that either. They were not pleased with the portrayal of the Navy SEALs. So.
Well, according to Seymour Hersh, and I'm not sure if it's credible, I'll be grilling him on this, the idea that Osama bin Laden picked up a gun and fought back and all that stuff,
right,
all made up. And the idea that this wasn't arranged with the Pakistanis, that the Pakistanis didn't know and they had to sneak in, all false, according to him.
Right. According to the movie, a woman in the CIA discovered...
Definitely false. We know
definitely
that's
false.
Made up.
Right, that was already
there was
known
no torture.
During, yeah. Right, all yes. That. Nick Summers, what do you think about your fernet that you brought with us? Do you enjoy when you've let something ferment and have worked on something? What is it like to go, you know what, I'm going to share this with my friends and enjoy myself on a Friday night?
It's all about pleasing the people.
That's what she said.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? And Roger Badish is up in news.
Hi there.
Craig told me you wanted to perhaps shout out.
Yeah, if I could.
Of course.
A fraternity brother of mine from SIU Carbondale is retired now in Arizona. I've just recently found this out because today's his birthday. He is a retired Chicago paramedic. And so we thank him for all the years of his service and wish him a happy birthday, Howie.
Happy birthday, Howie.
Yeah.
And do we know he's listening?
He told me he was about 5 minutes ago.
All right. And since then?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Facebook is not instantaneous.
Well, happy birthday, Howie. And yeah. We're going to assume that you're still listening. What are you, Elliot, what are you planning to do this weekend? I know you are planning to go see a movie tomorrow.
And let's see, X-Men Apocalypse came out, so I'm going to try to squeeze that in tomorrow.
Are you going, Nick, are you an X-Men fan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not. Craig and I were mentioning this earlier. We're not that drawn to that.
Oh, yeah. I love the X-Men. I love the X-Men. I'm not going to go to this movie.
Rick, are you a fan of the comic book hero movies?
No, not really. I find them quite infantile.
All of them? Every single one of them?
Yeah, I mean, just not my bag.
Not your bag. Yeah. All right, then.
No, I mean, I think there are times when you talk about being infantile, like that.
Yeah, it's okay to be infantile. I shouldn't even say that. I love being infantile. I don't like comic book movies.
Yeah, no, but there are some fans that are infantile. I mean, especially now that Captain America is a Hydra agent, and you have comic book nerds just totally losing it and burning copies of the comic book.
All right,
because they don't want Captain America to be a Nazi. Although a Hydra agent doesn't make you a Nazi, but I find it ironic that these comic book fans are complaining that Captain America is now a Nazi, and what are they doing? Burning a book. Who did that last?
Nazis.
They're metaphorically burning the book.
No, they're literally.
Oh, they're actually burning the book.
Yeah, they went online. They would like. There's some guy posted a vine of himself. He took the comic. He douses it in lighter fluid and he sets it on fire.
How can people be so enraged by something that is not for real?
Yeah, why can't they be enraged about Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders like something real? You know,
or Trump
or something fake. I don't know.
What enrages you, Nick? Mm-hmm. What would it take for you to set something on fire?
I don't know.
Right?
Mess with my family.
Right? See, that's...
And that's it.
But maybe people feel like, and we've talked about this, at what point is your opinion somehow your identity? And like that becomes what you are outraged by. Someone countering that or feeling like it flies in the face of what you believe deeply.
Yeah, it's not going to be anything fake like a comic book or even like politicians. I think that's all. I don't know. I think politicians is just like the
perception of whatever. I think the corporations own this country, and no matter what happens, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter.
Isn't that what you run into? A lot of people think that the corporations run the country. What difference does it make how we vote?
Well, it would be great if we had some more politicians who acted as if that were the case.
They're all greedy.
That's
greedy
one of the reasons pigs. Why Bernie Sanders is so popular, right?
I wish. Mean,
you wish,
and then somehow Bernie can't get in, and all of a sudden it's all crooked. It's all, you know, politics
yes,
are crooked.
I mean,
it's terrible.
His rant that, you know, kind of he's losing, so it's crooked, is not very graceful.
Well, and that's the thing that's stirring the pot, though, isn't it?
Right.
That he's railing against in the same way that Donald Trump has said, this is a rigged system when it comes to the delegates. Although he's gotten all the delegates, he doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Well, he says if you're a prize fighter and you knock someone out, you don't have to worry about if the referee is crooked.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It's always about punching someone with that guy.
Yeah. Or shooting them in the face. It depends. Yes, Nick?
I had a customer, you know, at House and Hood, and he's like, are you scared of Donald Trump? And I looked at him and I said, in a dark alley?
That's a good question. That's a great way to respond.
I'm like, no, I'm not scared of him. You know, am I scared of him taking over? Well, maybe we got a lot of things going on if that happens, you know.
Well, that was an interesting moment this week.
He might be met in a dark alley by a few of those, you know, kind of masters of the universe.
Yeah, who knows? He-Man will come out.
He might. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out which microphones are on. Craig, that was me rolling things up and down. Again, I'm playing with buttons I shouldn't touch.
That's what she said.
Well, faster, slower. He was traveling. President Obama was traveling this week and said
right.
a couple of days ago that the rest of the world is nervous, and rightly so. Is the rest of the world starting to take action ahead of a possible Trump presidency?
Well, they have to protect their interests. I mean, we have this kind of trading system that's very carefully been built up over 70 years. Not 70 years. I mean, nothing goes over a border unless there's a treaty or an agreement. And when he just said, oh, I'm going to throw that all out. You know, this is really kind of very threatening to the basic way of life of, you know, billions of people.
What do you think, Elliot?
I think Trump is a Hydra agent. that's essentially what he's doing. He's using basically Hydra tactics. And whenever he, like when he hugged Governor.
Who's supporting now? Rubio? Rubio support him?
Oh yeah. What a bunch of.
Wow.
What happened?
You know,
what?
There are a bunch of HORSs, like man.
Yeah.
Dissing him like the whole time. Politics,
you can say whores. Were you going to say whores?
Yes.
You can say
horses.
That.
Oh, they're all whores.
I
mean, it's like you say a guy is, you know, like anathema to everything you believe in, and then the next day, because he's powerful, you jump on his bandwagon. I mean, yeah. I like to see a teeny bit of principle, you know?
Oh, principle. That's
why I like X-Men.
So go to see the X-Men movie. Try to talk Craig down off the ledge now that Captain America is a Hydra agent. He's really upset.
That's your weekend for Memorial Day weekend?
That'll be it. And then
it's going to be really nice of you, Elliot. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We're biking the drive on Sunday
morning.
Yeah,
that'll be cathartic, by the way. I might do it dressed as a Hydra agent just to really embrace
How
it.
How am I going to get to Oak Park on Sunday?
Why are you taking Lakeshore Drive? Oh, right. You live on the north side now. See what happens.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take other streets.
Okay, so here's what you do. you're off of Irving?
Ravenswood.
Right, so maybe off of Irving.
I'm not going to tell you any more specific because I have some military veterans who want to, like, you know, kill me.
Well, we got the X-Men to protect you.
We know some Marines that will. I'll tell them that you're my
friend. So I'm in West Edgewater.
So take a wider street, right? Which is Irving as a four lane.
Right.
Yeah, go west, and then you want to take. You can go to Harlem. Go
sure.
Irving to Harlem.
That'll work.
And then Harlem.
Meanwhile,
straight.
Your entire audience just fell asleep.
No. Here's the great thing. Everyone in Chicago went, I can tell you how to get from the north side. There's so many people like, oh, here's what you do for your side streets.
Right.
My dad was a cabbie.
Remember in broadcast news, there was a whole joke.
Oh,
about
I love that movie.
Right.
Craig,
everyone knew where to tell the cabbies exactly where to go, right?
Exactly. And here's what we need to do, Craig. We need to have, we have military movies with Marines.
Mm-hmm.
We should do journalism movies with writers.
We should also do.
Or writing movies
with
writers.
We should also
do
driving movies of some kind with taxi drivers.
Oh.
I got
Robert De Niro?
I got a segment idea for you.
Yes.
So
Robert De Niro.
You
take 2 points in Chicago, mm-hmm. arbitrarily announce that certain streets are closed or high traffic, and have people call in and give their favorite, you know, like alternate routes.
So pretend that they're closed and right. tell us how you would get there.
Right.
Well, right now.
So lie to our listeners.
312. Are you staying for one more segment, Rick?
No.
Okay. So I'm telling you to take Irving all the way to Harlem, Harlem down to Oak Park. 312-981-7200 if you have a better route for Rick Perlstein to get from the Ravenswood Edgewater area to Oak Park on Sunday when we've closed the drive for Bike the Drive. So, Rick, on your way home, you can listen to the answers.
Okay, great.
There you go. Thank you so Cheers. Much. Rick Perlstein has an event Such coming up for the Printer's Row Book Festival. Is that what it's called?
June 11th, yep.
June 11th with...
Seymour Hersh.
Seymour Hersh, and whether or not what you everything you've heard about the killing of Osama bin Laden, if he has other thoughts on what you believe, or maybe what you've heard at least.
And Syria, too. And, his book makes Barack Obama look like the guy from House of Cards.
I should probably watch that show. More perception. After this on 720 WGN. It's a three-day weekend, everybody. I hope that you all arrived at your destinations safely. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio with the... Are you the bar manager at House and Hood? The bartender extraordinaire? The head bartender? What's Nick Summers? What is your title there?
Just go with Nick Summers.
Nick Summers, one of our favorite Fournette makers.
I'm kind
of
like Magic Johnson. I play every position on the court, you know. So when they need me to manage, I'll manage. You know,
well, I've gone in there and told I've snitched on some of the I've snitched on a hostess to him
yeah,
before.
Oh, I got her too.
Oh, by the way, it happened again. I don't know if it was her because I called. I was 10 minutes out, and I called. I was on Hubbard, and I was like, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to call and put in an order for the kitchen before they close. And I called, and she goes, "Oh, the kitchen's closed." And it was 10:02, so I rolled into the lot. I came upstairs, sat at the bar. And it was 10:01, and I asked the bartender, I'm like, is the kitchen closed? She goes, no, they usually stay open for a few more minutes. Yeah, that happened.
Nice. Well, the bartender, yeah, all right.
You got some, I don't know who's answering the phone over there, but I love Howls and Hood.
It's definitely not Jake from State Farm.
No, it's definitely not Jake from State Farm. But you guys have so much good food. That's the thing is, I start salivating on the Kennedy. That's why, I mean, because I've been a hostess, I've been a waitress. I get like it's close to the end of the day. It's, you know, I'm exhausted. I'm going to answer with whatever comes in my mouth. And I've gotten in trouble for that, by the way. I've gotten busted by managers who are like, you know, we've got customers. You guys have such a great reputation for everything you do, for your outdoor beer garden, for the kitchen, the bar, and the greatest lineup of craft beer that mm-hmm. that exists anywhere as far yeah. as I'm concerned.
You know, we have a lot of passion in craft beer. You know, as a company about to go national.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
I just did the training for right across the street from where Prince filmed Purple Rain.
Right, you were in Minnesota doing
City
that.
Works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're moving fast, and it's kind of a craft beer movement that we're a part of, and we're a big part of coming out of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one's really bigger than us.
Is it called House and Hood in other places? Or
No, we got another City Works, and then we have an Old Town Poorhouse. We got you know, a couple different concepts that we're working on and things like that. But we're about to open one in Naperville here in a couple weeks, and that's going to be an Old Town Poorhouse concept. It's going to be 90 drafts. And we know we're kind of supporting the small guys, you know, as far as like the
local breweries,
mm-hmm. small guys and stuff like that. Like, you know, an interesting thing came up where Budweiser is going to rename Budweiser to America,
right?
And they just sold to a Belgian company, you know. So it's kind of a
reverse or psychology when it
yeah,
comes to
yeah. It's like, what do you
yeah talk? When you yeah. sell to a European, because the way they do beer in European countries, it's funny that we are doing this craft beer movement. It's sort of a better answer to what they do in so many other places in the world. And for Budweiser to be like, no, really, American, they've got to be laughing at that.
Oh, we all are, you know. And it's just like, you know, support the guy down the street kind of aspect, you mm-hmm. know. It's just a support your neighbor.
Right.
You know, so, and some more support the you know, the smaller guys, not the Walmarts, you know. I'd rather go to Bob's General Inn.
I love Bob's General Inn.
Whatever.
Have you been, Elliot?
No, Bob's a great guy.
He is. He's very good.
He spells his name backwards, too.
He also has a mill, oddly enough.
General. It's a red one.
It's a red mill. Yeah. He's got the red. Speaking of alternatives to different kinds of flour or mixes, I brought a menu for Craig that was phenomenal. Elliot and I ate at Devante and Oteka.
Yeah, this looks amazing.
I know.
Yeah, this is so great. And they have a bunch of gluten-free items, and they're all in green, which is cool.
And
then
in yellow, it lets you know, let them know, and they'll make an adjustment to make sure it is gluten-free.
Right. And red,
no, you cannot have that.
Yeah, I can't have
that. Not for you.
Some of these sound delicious, the red items.
So much great food over there.
Mm. Yeah, but the green ones seem great, too.
There you go.
And you brought me some food that tasted lovely.
There was a polenta with mascarpone and a pork shoulder ragu.
Yeah.
That happened in your face.
Yeah, it did. It was great. It made Captain America being a Hydra agent a little bit easier. So that was nice.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
Okay.
All right, then.
All right.
And then hugs.
And then hugs, yeah.
Which would be brutal.
And I also need hugs because X-Men is going to be terrible, I hear. I hear it's just going to be awful.
Are you hearing terrible things?
I'm hearing mixed reviews. I have some folks are saying it's terrible. I have other, I know other folks whose opinions I respect are saying it's actually not that bad.
And you like X-Men a lot, Elliot?
I've liked most of the X-Men movies. Yes.
Okay, well, not just the movies, like the X-Men. No, the
I
cartoons,
used to be huge
everything.
Into the comics.
Okay, cool.
Comics when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the thing about the cartoons. Apparently, this movie feels a lot like the X-Men cartoon.
Oh.
So if you were a big fan of the cartoon,
I was.
They're saying that they've even pulled lines of dialogue from the cartoon.
I heard that.
And they
have costumes and stuff from the cartoon.
Yeah, it all looks about the same.
But then it's just supposed to be terrible. So.
I don't know.
And I went to see Batman versus Superman, Patty, as you know, and complained about it a lot. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to go through it again.
But does it hold the same place in your heart?
That was bad too, huh?
X-Men holds a bigger... Batman is probably my favorite single superhero. But since there's so many X-Men, they are my favorite group of heroes by far. Yeah. So I can't go and hate this. Because it's going to ruin my whole holiday weekend. I just can't do it. I've got to skip this movie.
I'm so sorry.
It's the right thing to do. Like I'm now skipping bread, I have to skip the X-Men.
Here's what you need. Go see Civil Wars again.
I will. I'll go see Civil War twice more, probably.
And then Hail Hydra. Oh, man. Craig, we're just winding up for you. You are hosting with Mark Harmon in just 25 minutes.
Wow,
you'll be taking
you.
Over the station.
Yeah,
it's
I will.
All yours.
I'm actually going to run the board.
You're going to sit here.
I'm going to run the
I've
board.
I've made a big mess.
Okay,
I should clean
fine.
Up before you get over.
Whatever.
There's reviews. There's Fernette.
It's your show?
No,
you
it's
the show right now.
No, it's going to be all yours.
Well,
you're right. No, but that's the thing I tell comics. It doesn't matter what happens before you or after you. When you're behind the mic, it's all yours.
Okay.
All right, then.
Well, and Mark Harmon's. I'm going to let him talk sometimes.
That guy.
Yeah. He's great. I have a big surprise plan for him at 2:35, by the way. I don't want to spoil it, but I have a big surprise plan.
All right, then. I like that. Oh, she's got a very cute skirt on Michigan Avenue. Isn't that cute?
I can't see it.
She's got very nice.
I'm just agreeing with you.
All right, then.
I was trying to be this way. Go up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We should everything.
We should work out a little bit. I see a workout in our future.
Can I say something, though? I am wearing a sweater. It is not exactly cold outside, and we rode bikes for a while, and neither of us have gone home. So I don't think I'm in the most presentable shape.
I will find a low-impact workout for you
Could
before
it be mostly
the end of the show.
A mental workout? Like
yes.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, I can do that for you. Nick, who is the man of all jack of all trades at Howls and Hood. How's that? Nick of all trades.
Yes.
Except that. We have in the past done workouts on WGN Radio. And for those who've listened for a while, you know what you can do. Let us know something, and then perhaps something else will happen.
What kind of workouts are we talking about?
Let's not explain this any further. We've gone too far.
That's all you get.
If you've listened to the show before, you know what it means.
It's been a year almost,
it's
hasn't
been a
it?
Year, yeah.
It's been a year since we've done this.
Well, you've been CrossFitting and doing all this
stuff. I moved
stuff.
On, didn't I?
You were running stairs.
I feel bad.
I'm intimidated by Patty Vasquez, to be honest with you. I see her things on Facebook, and I'm like, my God, she is Wonder Woman.
Did you by any chance see her
I tried
snap?
So hard to lift that bike. I was actually trying to push press that bike, but we were calling it a power snatch.
A power snatch. You were trying to power snatch the bicycle over your head.
But the wheel spun, and I couldn't quite get underneath the bike.
It just seemed awkward. I think you could do it.
I could have done a split jerk.
What are you trying to pick up, a Harley?
A bike. No, just a regular.
Not just a bicycle?
A regular.
Yeah. Not even one of the ones with huge tires. Just the regular ones.
Elliot, why are you confused?
Well, those bikes, like, was it a carbon fiber bike?
I don't know what kind it was.
Those things are like light.
No, but I couldn't get it. It was a little bit heavier than you would think.
Not just that, but I couldn't get the right angle because the weight is distributed unevenly. You know, like people push press.
You know how the front wheel isn't really like attached at all, kind of? It's moving. Yeah. When she tried to lift the bike, the front wheel would almost hit her in the face.
I was trying to get out of the way of the wheel.
So it's a bad exercise.
I'm going to get it before we return the bikes.
You're going to power snatch it?
By the way, I'm gonna push press and maybe a split jerk.
All right, split jerk it.
A split jerk it.
What's a split jerk?
hold on a second. So you get the weight here, and then you.
That's the one I see on Facebook all the time.
She split jerks a lot on Facebook.
I do split jerk a lot.
Yeah.
She split jerks, and all the guys are like, "Oh my god."
I wonder what else you can do. I've been doing a lot of angry ballet. You should come do. Oh, Elliot,
Elliot, angry ballet with her.
Angry ballet with me.
Do you have a tutu, Elliot?
Oh, that would be great.
No.
No.
I'm surprised. I feel like there's some costume out there that might incorporate a tutu.
Yeah. Are there no superheroes with tutus?
Yeah, like just one somewhere out there.
I think there's like
Did Jem wear a tutu? That's not a superhero though, right?
No, Jem was not a superhero.
I'm sorry. That's my first wet dream.
Jem and the holograms. Yeah.
Are there tutus in wet dreams?
What? Where did we go? I'm not prepared for my show at all anymore. What are we talking about now?
Nick said that must have been in my wet dream. Okay. Are there tutus in wet dreams? And Roger Badish does not want to have anything to do with this conversation at all.
Completely.
He's put his.
So by wet dream, we mean that you spilled like water on the bed, right?
No, he means he's having an erotic dream. And
no, it was a water bed that leaked.
Got it. Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
All right, then.
That's a better answer. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yes, Elliot. So anyway, is there a superhero that wears a tutu?
Yeah, Hydra agents all wear
all
tutus.
Of them wear tutus.
You're just trying to twist the knife.
Hydra agents.
And they sleep in water beds.
There
and,
you go.
In water
with
beds.
Tutus.
With tutus.
Mm-hmm. And they have wet dreams.
And they split jerk.
For those who aren't familiar with the comic books that in Marvel books.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the superheroes are so popular now, the movies are so popular, that really
there are people who don't know what Hydra is. There
Have to be. I mean, sure, of course there are, but the Captain America movies have had huge box office success, and Hydra's been in most of the movies, been mentioned. So I think that a majority of people would at least understand that Captain America now being a Hydra agent means he's a bad guy.
The greatest villain in the Marvel universe right now.
The greatest.
The biggest villain.
But, yes, Roger.
But...
This is there a tutu in the waterbed? No.
No.
This is not what.
But this is just I don't know how many issues this is going to be, Elliot, but this is not the main storyline for Captain America. This is kind of a one-off type series from my understanding. Am I correct in that, Elliot?
Well, it runs parallel to the Sam Wilson Captain America book, where Sam Wilson, formerly known as the Falcon,
right,
has taken over as Captain America in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he carries a shield and all that. And then Steve Rogers, who was incredibly old because the super soldier formula that gave him all his powers had broken down, was finally, he was really, really old, and then he was de-aged by the Cosmic Cube, which, see, here's the thing. This is what really amuses me, because whenever you say Cosmic Cube...
Mm-hmm. Elliot, can I just interrupt for 1 second and say that Nick is on his cell phone, Patty is on her cell phone. I'm not sure that they're listening very much to your Cosmic Cube explanation.
I'm all in.
Go ahead.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Because the Cosmic Cube actually goes
back. Do I use the hi-fi, the lo-fi filter, or the...
I like hi-fi. The
hi-fi filter, the lo-fi.
So anyway, the Cosmic Cube is been known for redoing and reconfiguring reality.
Right.
And I'm guessing pretty much that... At one point, we're going to discover that the Cosmic Cube rewrote Steve Rogers' personal history, which then will be undone, and then Cap will be a good guy again, and then people can stop burning books.
Right. So, you know what? It's a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantasy.
Yes.
It's real to me!
Smack. People chill, because if your life revolves around a fantasy and a comic book...
Oh, come now, though. Wait a second, Roger. Wait a minute.
Chill.
I'm not speaking specific about comic books, but just anything. Don't we all have something we're passionate about, something we care about, that if someone tampered with it, it would upset you? Patty Vasquez.
Okay, I told Elliot this over dinner, actually. I was not a fan of Wicked. But
oh yeah,
I didn't get upset about it.
Right.
I was a big fan of the version of Wizard of Oz that I grew up with, which, by the way, the movie is also not a reflection of the original books.
No,
so you know, for me, the musical and the Wicked Witch is now a animal rights activist and all that. It didn't speak to me.
Yeah,
I didn't need it. I didn't want it, but I didn't get upset about it.
I'm not going to be burning any books or anything. Yeah. But yeah, definitely, I agree with you,
me.
Patty. Yeah,
I was just like,
it's something like when you hear that Captain America is a bad guy, for me, it's like, well, that is silly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was my point, though.
Oh.
That's been my point.
Well, no, I think you're trying to say that we shouldn't care about imaginary things.
I'm saying we should, but not to the point of book burning, of protest,
yes.
Let's get a foot in reality, ladies and gentlemen, please.
Man. I don't know where to put my foot. All right. Honestly, I have this drawer.
Oh, not there. That's not the right spot.
That was a bad place.
Yeah, that was not reality.
Let's cover this for a moment. We have the fan van.
We have the fan.
Wait, yeah, you didn't return it yet?
No, not at
all. Oh, we're not supposed to.
Okay.
Marlene was very generous in her instructions as to what needs to happen over the next few days.
Thorough.
Yes, and but also kindly gave me the keys to the WGN Radio fan van, which Craig and I took to Cozy's to pick up our bikes for Bike the Ride.
She gave you the keys sort of the way that I imagine any parent gives their teenage child keys for the first time. It was one of those, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And a lot of instructions about where to put the keys when I'm done.
Right.
And
to be in by 10.
And where the van is, which apparently was in a parking structure that Craig and I could not escape.
Yeah, that was difficult.
We were trapped.
Okay, so guys, just real quick, if you go to floor 2, if you get in an elevator and go to floor 2 and you're in a parking lot, and then you try to leave said parking lot, the direction you'd go would be down.
Down.
Right.
Yes.
No,
not necessarily. Correct. Not necessarily. It depends on what side of the parking structure you're on. You may have to go up to go down.
Okay, Roger. Well, how many times do you think you would go up? Maybe once, right?
Yeah, maybe once, sure.
Okay, we went up.
One time around.
5 times?
It was a lot of turns. It was a lot of turns.
That's, yeah.
Sounds like a lot of spaghetti.
And Craig, it is a turn. Craig is being generous because the first thing I did when I pulled the fan van out of its spot, I backed up and I saw a gate and I was like, this is where we leave.
Yeah, you approach gates if you see them.
I did. I was like, drove at a gate.
Right.
And one of the security guards or parking attendants came at us with a walkie-talkie.
She came quickly.
She was. Where did she come from?
I don't know.
She was like, was she in the wall? Like, she was like painted. She had, because the wall was white and black. Yeah. She had a white shirt and black pants. And I'm pretty sure
she was wall colored.
So she came at us with the police and we need help down at the...
She didn't even speak to us, by the way.
No.
She was immediately in the walkie-talkie like, we're going to need help in this situation right now.
I heard her say resident. We have a resident. I don't know why she would think WGN Radio lives there.
Right. We live everywhere, though.
WGN Fan Van is wrapped in all WGN Radio. Yeah. There's the Northwestern logo, the Blackhawks logo. And she's like, we have a resident that's trying to get...
We have a resident that's confused?
I'm trying to get out.
Right.
And she has looked at us, she goes... it was a very audible...
Yeah, she was disappointed.
She sighed into the radio, and you could hear the person on the other end go... It's a lot of drama.
Yeah. It was a lot of parking lot drama. Mm-hmm. We got lost again for a little while, and eventually we went up, like I said, 5 times, and it kept saying exit, and the arrow kept pointing up.
There were no exits.
And it just seemed illogical. I thought we were eventually going to drive off a cliff. Yes. Eventually there was going to be just cliff and then us, and that was going to be bad.
I have no peripheral. I have no side view on the passenger side. It's now, Elliot, you've driven a van like this that has very little range of vision. For the driver. Right?
Oh, yeah. No, those things are a nightmare. And I was watching your live video on Facebook, and I was like, oh, goodness. You couldn't see anything. The rearview mirror was useless. Mm-hmm. And
there's a cage. There is a cage, Nick, in our fan van. I'm not sure what we're supposed to trap and take with us. But are we – so when we go to the Memorial Day Parade in Norwood Park,
do you want to just throw the stuff in the back of the van to people in the audience? Just whatever's back there?
Yeah.
Just
like
throw,
tubs.
Like, the ladders and,
there's like posters and banners. I wonder what's on those. We should like just
they
go
have,
through.
Yeah.
You should get that body out of the back. Though.
Yeah, probably should do that.
Okay, how many are those?
Let's not talk about that on the air.
I think we should do an inventory of what's just like sitting back there.
Right.
I feel like it's like a junk drawer is now the back of the fan van.
Like a garage sale in a van, though.
We should talk to Marlene first.
Yeah, no. You always get the best treasures in a junk drawer.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think Marlene's going to nix this plan, just cautiously saying out loud.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
she's I think she's not going
to
be a fan.
Nick, mostly in a junk drawer, you get expired coupons and wires that you don't know what they
go
to.
I got a Sharpie. I can figure that out.
Nice. You know? Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, and you're a restaurant guy. You can talk your way through that, can't you?
Hopefully.
Yeah,
I don't have enough Fernet in me.
So on Monday, Elliot and I will be at the Norwood Park Memorial Day Parade.
Oh, man.
Handing out candy and driving the fan van. Roger, you're welcome to join us.
What day again?
Monday. Memorial
on Monday,
day.
What time?
Where's the fan van?
Wait, we talked
be?
About this the other day. I'm golfing.
Oh, that's right. You're not coming with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, 10:16 tee time.
Whatever.
All right. Fine.
10:16 sharp.
No fan van for you, sir.
I'm sorry.
Nick, what's your question?
Where's the fan van going to be?
Going to be? It's going to, well, first on Sunday, it will be at Bike the Drive. And we are, the WGN radio team will be all up and down Lakeshore Drive. I'm not sure where the fan van will be parked, but we are going to bring it to the festival grounds for Bike the Drive. And on Monday, it will be in Norwood Park participating in, well, it being Elliot and I driving the van. We'll take turns.
Who gets to throw the candy?
Well, you can't throw it from the vehicle.
Wait, we got candy?
You have
we
to
have
walk
candy.
Alongside.
What kind
yes.
of candy?
Yep.
Is that Kristen Decker getting out of a cab? That is Kristen Decker
what?
Getting
No way. oh, she was at the concert
she
tonight.
She used to the Beyonce.
She was at
yeah.
Carb is in the studio. Uh-oh. Everything is okay. All hell is breaking right, loose on the air
take
right now. Fan van, Norwood Park Memorial Day Parade. We are going to have Nick Summers apparently walking alongside of the van handing out candy. More after
Power
this on
walking.
720 WGN. All right, it's almost the end of the show, but really, I feel like the next show, I want the next show to start right now.
Okay.
And I think we can do that.
No, we can't. No, it's your show.
Yes, buddy. No, this we're starting the next show right now.
No.
Carm is in the studio, your co-host. Yes.
Well, first of all, why, when I just sat down, did the bartender leave?
Oh, did you want something to drink?
No,
I've got something
I just wanted
for
to,
you.
I really want, I bet you do, Decker.
Kristen Decker also joins us in the studio, fresh
Hi.
From the Beyonce
oh
concert.
Oh my God,
at
I just went to church and it was the church of Beyonce.
Yeah, let's get a review from Decker. Yeah. That seems like a more important thing to do right
okay,
now.
Okay, Beyonce, A++++, amazing. 5 stars out of 5.
Love it.
10 out of 10. She
Wait
was
a second.
This
amazing. This one goes to 11.
If I may just be uninformed right now, was Beyonce at the United Center?
She was not no. at the United Center. She was at Soldier Field.
That was what we ran into, Craig, by the way, with our fan van. That was the
she killed.
That
it.
Was the mess we ran
and
into.
And she was amazing.
You were just at Soldier Field to watch Beyonce.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
with,
so amazing.
She was with Queen Bey.
Oh my God,
Queen Bey.
Okay, yeah, good. I do call.
And
it
a rain delay.
She
wasn't
slayed it.
Was there a rain delay?
Yes, there was actually. Right when they played her intro music, started pouring. Oh, so then there was like a 45-minute little, let's get some okay, beers and go to the bathroom and like try and make this like work, pit stop. And
can I play the Craig Collins role of just talking about what's going on air as Patty hands off the peanut brittle to Kristen Decker?
No, it's Hillbilly Crack from Johnny Putnam. She brought that earlier in the week.
And that is crack.
That is crack.
Let me get that crack.
You got to have some crack.
Give me some crack.
By the way, it is gluten-free crack.
Gluten-free?
It was hard for both of us to say that.
Gluten-free
crack.
Yes, all of that.
That's good,
it's good,
right?
Crack.
It's so good.
Which typical crack, I assume, I guess, has gluten in it.
And by the way, Johnny Putnam calls it that. That is not my. If there's anyone in
right.
parts,
Johnny Putnam,
other,
she's Johnny Putnam is the one who
like
coined
pretty
that
much the best cook of sweets I've ever
oh,
had.
Oh my God!
Or really? Baker, or like I don't know what you really call.
There's so many things
a sweet
she does
maker.
So well. I aspire to be.
Did
Johnny.
You? Did you see her today?
Oh my God, she's spectacular.
Blue. She was like blue sunglasses, blue shirt, blue pants, blue fingernails,
and toenails,
and then she made Steve. Wear a blue suit coat.
With his,
I love it.
By the way, his guitar. Gibson's pin. Oh, so good.
They are like, they're such the couple that like they can dress alike and you're like, oh, you're cute. Not like, God, gag me with a spoon.
No, that works.
That works
They
for
own
them.
It. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I did not make it to most of today's Walk of Fame. Carm, you also were not there this morning.
I was a working man today. That's just the way it went. I feel terrible about it. I want a full review.
It's worse. I feel worse. Craig and I had a tough time.
You know what you need to do? Go to WGNradio.com.
And see all the
There's a live blog.
Photos.
There's videos. There's a photo gallery.
I like seven
photos.
I slept here, Carm, to be at the Walk of Fame event. I slept here. I slept in my office, right? And
Is
I fell
legal?
Asleep. I fell asleep around 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, the noise in this hallway was unbelievable. And I couldn't leave because I was like, you know, my pajamas and my face was washed and like just a mess. And I couldn't, for about 2 hours, I was awake listening to Steve Cochran's show for the pre Walk of Fame show and the just constant cacophony of noise in the hallway. And I finally fell asleep at like 9:45. I'm like, I'll just sleep for like half an hour. 11:20, I wake up.
Right when it's over. Like, literally, I remember looking at my watch and being like, oh my God, we're actually out on time. It's 11:20.
Yeah.
We had to be done by 11:30 or else they would have started construction.
Oh my
like,
God.
There was no...
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't
this is
it.
How such a big deal the Walk of Fame is. They stopped construction on the new Apple store for an hour for us for the Walk of Fame.
Yeah. Craig? Were you there this morning?
I was not, no. Yeah. I
we
also
were there for the
actually,
after party.
And I told you, Patty, I slept through a record number of alarms, six. I set six alarms this morning, 3 minutes apart, which probably is too close, right? I should have given myself more time in between, but I really wanted to wake up with enough time to get here, and I slept through all six of them.
You know what? Actually, I don't blame you guys for sleeping in.
But I was here. But I was here.
Yeah, but still.
At night, and also... You don't get paid extra for coming in at 10 a.m.
Yeah, but I wanted to be here to be part of history.
Yeah, we wanted to celebrate it.
I know you do.
But
I know you do.
But I was on the other side of the wall.
But you could cover it now.
The Walk of Fame was right outside my...
That seems...
maybe the greatest thing that I've ever heard. I
yeah,
gotta
seriously.
Be honest.
Yeah.
The whole visual that the history of WGN is outside and behind
yes.
the wall is Vasquez sleeping.
Yeah. I'm under my blanket.
Patty is asleep.
You're like,
in the...
Walk of Fame, what? I'm sleeping.
I'm like, I should really go.
She's asleep in the only office that has no window. There's
no
way to
even
tell. Yeah.
Well, I'll bet you if I had been able to look out the window and go, I should really be out there. Right? If I could have looked up and been like, I should be out there. But I couldn't. And I couldn't even hear the show. So, yeah, I was literally 4 feet from the entire event.
Well, you sort
just,
of attended.
I actually, it's like, I love it. Like,
I mean,
that's a perfect.
I don't know what happened.
Patty, you were
4 feet
here.
From the
I
event.
Was here.
But I was really sleeping because I also work really hard.
But see, so here's the difference. If someone asks you, Patty, hey, were you at WGN for the... You could say yes. You could just answer that question with yes, I was there.
You were at WGN.
Right.
People were looking for me.
But you did make it to the after party.
I did.
Craig, did you make it to the after party?
I did not.
You
know.
Didn't? Oh, you okay. were there.
I walked in at the very end. I walked in
there
for
were,
the really
were,
cool kids after party.
Yeah.
Kristen,
we still
were,
got some cake up here.
Yeah,
there is cake. A lot of cake.
There's more
cake.
Than just cake, people.
Yeah, there's
and meatballs. Go check out Club
720.
Yeah,
go check out where?
Club 720. There's one in the fridge down here, by the way. We got some stuff.
There's one in the fridge
I
down here.
I brought one down. A bottle
I'm still like
struggle.
In this hillbilly crack or yeah, whatever Johnny Putman calls this.
Get in there.
Yeah. So, Elliot, I don't know if you know this, but you and I are about to leave because we're getting out of the way for the next show. I don't know. Kristen Decker, I think, should be a part. But well, that's up to you guys. I'm not part of your programming.
I didn't get to bond with Elliot tonight. I feel a little bit lost.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Elliot.
Hey, you know, I will say this. Yeah, we've been bonding lately.
We have.
I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, we're on
why
a whole other level.
Whole other level.
Because I'm a jerk. Elliot's a great guy.
You're answering the phone.
No, we're both.
Shantae is in there.
We're both.
Okay, Patty is now answering the phone as if she's
jerky
a producer.
Guys, and we've had questionable romantic histories.
Okay.
We have. We've been through the ringer.
Yeah.
Although you've actually accomplished the holy grail of getting married. I just am. I'm waiting for the right moment. I'm hoping that it happens before I turn 92.
Wait, Elliot, you're married?
No, I was. I'm no longer. So
I'm confused.
Yeah, I told Mark, you know, I'm no longer. So it's kind of like the same difference, you know.
Got it.
Wait a minute. Mark, your J-swipe thing didn't accomplish anything.
Hey, we'll
yesterday?
Get to that. Roger, don't spoil
that's
any of our stuff. That is part of our show.
Save it for after 2 o'clock.
Great minds think alike. Okay.
Roger.
Okay.